Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe at Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by Bet Online. Continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. We go to the Meadors Lumber Hotline and bring in Chris Goodwin of the Arkansas Punishers. Been following the team for a few years now since the start. Really appreciate you coming on. We know we have a big matchup this weekend coming up, man. And just talk about the season, talk about how everything's going, and of course, the big matchup this weekend.
I appreciate you having me on. I've been a fan of the show as well, so it's really nice that you guys invited me on. The Punishers have been a team for, this is our fourth season now. We started in 2020, where, somewhere around there, the COVID kind of threw everything off. We got started. I actually played the first year. That's the jersey behind me here. Played offensive line that year. We went undefeated that year, won a championship, won a regional bowl game. They kind of do it differently at our level. You play in regional bowls and then national championships. We won the regional bowl but didn't get selected to go to the national championship. Then I kind of retired out of football, took over as general manager in the second year. And then these last 2 years, I've kind of come into ownership and kind of, been spearheading the change for the football team and everything we've had going on. I've had a ton of help. I want to give a shout out to Trip Keeter and Hope Honorable. They both have been amazing and huge helps, along with my co-owner, Terry Jordan. Those three, you want to talk about a backbone of an organization. That's them three right there. As you mentioned, yes, we do have a huge matchup this weekend. We're playing the three-time defending league champions out of Mississippi, the Brawlers. They're a very good organization, very good team. You got to be to win the league three times in a row. We got our work cut out for us, but it should be a good team on paper. This is a really good matchup. But, as we all know in the sports world, paper goes out the window when the whistle blows. So, we really look forward to going out there this weekend.
Just go what goes into building this program, building this team and this league. How hard is it to get guys to buy in? Because I'm sure, the money, these semi-pro leagues, stuff like that. So, one, what's the process? Just take us through the process of start to finish, getting your roster set, and then trying to find a lead to get into. Then now you're at the point to now where you're in your fourth season. Just everything that goes into that.
Yeah, so, you got to have a lot of money in the front end to kind of start things, and that's why, we had two other owners. The Punisher name came from a military background. I was in the Army. Another one of our owners was in the Army, and another guy was in the Marine Corps. So the name came from, those two guys have kind of left the football world, and they're with their families and all that, and pursuing other ventures. But we got to have a lot of money in the front end, because none of us get paid to do this. It's all voluntary. You got to buy uniforms. Most teams out there, the players, it's actually kind of players will pay a league or a team fee. We are blessed in that we don't have team fees. All of our guys that, I'm real, as a former player, I'm real big on playing first. Our guys, they work jobs, they do this, they do that. Well, when you come to us, you should worry about playing football. You shouldn't have to worry about, I got to pay this fee. I got to do this, just come play. That's all we care about. You get the team set up. Recruiting is a lot different. It's a lot of, DMing and stuff like that. Pretty much as like a college coach would. We just have a lot less to sell. You spend your Saturdays with us. We practice two or three times a week, and then Saturdays are the main days where we go about 3 or 4 hours, in the morning or in the evening. A lot of our guys, we sell them on the chance to just continue playing football. That was the big selling point to me when I started playing, was just to keep playing football. So, when I started playing, it was fun to just suit up again. and a lot of guys play for that. We are blessed in that we've had a lot of players get collegiate and professional level looks. So we've been able to kind of use that in recruiting. Our roster, you know, we've got guys. We used to have a former Razorback in Kalen Kellybrew, but he quit playing for us. He went to Arkansas, I believe, in 2011, 2012, which we all know were kind of sour years. But yeah. But he played for us, gave us a lot of good years. You know, it's crazy that towards the end of him playing with us, he was still a D1 athlete, even, you know, getting older. We've got guys from Mississippi Valley State, Southern Arkansas, Arkansas Tech, all, you know, various high schools around the state. So, you know, we've kind of just built the roster. You know, we went undefeated the first year, so then we can sell that we're a good team. The second year, it got kind of harder. We moved up from the single A level. It kind of works like baseball. Single A, Triple A is the big. But we went from single A to Triple A because we had we thought we had the team for it, and we did. We recruited very well, played very well. But you know, you learn real quick. It's kind of like going from what I'd imagine is the UFL. You know, it's a little bit bigger. Guys are good. You're no longer the only team with collegiate players. So, you know, we kind of moved up, figured out where we needed to, you know, to improve and stuff like that. And then moving into this year, we're still at the AAA level. We're playing in the Next Level Football Alliance, which is a regional league. It's Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, and there's one team in Florida that play in our league. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff like that. We've been blessed to have some amazing sponsors. Our presenting sponsor this year is the U.S. Air Force. Awesome. You know, as an Army guy, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, okay.
Yeah.
It's good to have the support, you know. Sergeant McCarthy and those guys have been amazing to us. So, you know, one of the key things to continue building is just sponsorships and, you know, planning for longevity. Longevity, or, you know, the word, it's a lot of teams at this level don't do that. They're so hyper focused on wins and losses that they don't know what they're going to do next year, the year after that. And that's something, you know, going back to Hope and Tripp and Terry, they kind of focus on this year. Well, I get to focus on the coming years, and that helps in recruiting, that helps in finding a stadium, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really, you know, I've been blessed to have an amazing staff. And if there's any other teams watching, that's what you got to do. You got to get you a good backbone, a good solid foundation.
And before, what are some of the obstacles that y'all face as a team outside of money and things like that?
So the biggest thing is just battling work schedules. You know, we all work a normal job. I have a normal job outside of football. So it's finding time to practice. It's finding ways to communicate with each other. Our coaches do a fantastic job of having Zoom meetings, Zoom practices. You know, it's not as good as getting out on the field, but you can still get those mental reps. You can still practice and train and all that stuff on your own. And another one would be transportation to away games. You know, a lot of we carpool to a lot of games. And then when we get there, you know, we'll pile seven guys in a hotel room to try and make it work. And it's worked for us, you know, coming from a military background. I've been stuffed into a tent with 20 other soldiers, so it, you know, none of that stuff bothered me. But to some of these guys who have maybe played in college and stuff like that, you know, they travel with us and they're kind of like, you know, I don't know about this. But, you know, it's communication is the big thing to keep those guys bought in. But, yeah, I'd say transportation and travel is a huge.
I want to address a rumor right quick. I was asking about the move to Seattle is true. Now, look. As of right now, the Punishers are in Little Rock. Now, tomorrow, they might – I don't know what happens tomorrow. It's on the table. So they might be in Seattle tomorrow, but for today, the Arkansas Punishers are still in Little Rock.
No, yeah, we're staying in Arkansas. We were just getting in the spirit of April Fool's Day, but a lot of our players, I guess, didn't realize what today was. I had about 20 calls today. You know, hey coach, we're moving to Seattle. What's this? I'm like, no, come on, man. What's the come on?
You know, you just pull a Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim thing and do the Arkansas Punishers of Seattle.
There you go.
Just move out there.
Yeah, just right there, right underneath the needle. You know,
right.
So just talk about, you know, the roster you have this year, talking about a big game coming up, you know, talk about some of your playmakers. What have you been impressed with this team's roster, and what are you looking forward to coming out of this weekend, especially with a win?
Yeah, so this year I've been most impressed with a lot of our rookies and second-year guys. You know, this level is built on veterans who kind of just, you know, they play football. You know, they just want to keep playing for a long time. But we've had we got three players out of Bryant, Jalen Davis, Jaden Newburn, and Mitavia Singleton that they came in as rookies last year and really took over. I mean, one of them's a starting corner now, and Jaden. Mitavius is a starting receiver and return guy. And then Jalen gets reps at running back. So, you know, those guys are 19, 20 years old playing with all these guys who just got out of college. So they've impressed me a whole lot. Trayvon Woodard, Keyshawn Davis. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of our receiving core. DJ Johnson's another guy I want to throw out there. He's battling an injury this year, but he was one of those guys that was real timid about coming to this level, and he just bought into the process before he injured his knee, and he should be coming back real soon. And then Darius Robinson, our quarterback, he's one of those veteran guys that's been at this level for a while. He played out in Salt Lake City for a team out there and then came back. You know, I could go on and on about how much he's improved due to our offensive coordinator just actually working with him and spending more time with him. Mason Moody's our offensive coordinator. You know, and then on the defensive side, we're getting Denarius Dooley back. He played at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff defensive end. He broke the sack record in our league last year. He had 26 and a half sacks. So, you know, he's a monster on the defensive line. Dalen Conway's another guy. Josh Lamb. Then you go into the linebacking core. You got Spencer Lambert is a wonderful linebacker. Malik, another good linebacker. And then, you know, in our corners, you got Akeemian Parks and then Polo Parks. That's his brother. They play corner and safety. Trajan Doss is another guy. I played high school with him. He's a great athlete back there. You know, and then Jaden's another corner, like I said a minute ago. So a lot of these guys and a lot of those guys that I've mentioned are rookies or second-year players. I mean, they're brand new to this level. They took it, you know. They really came in and took over and learned what they were supposed to do. They've gotten in the weight room. They've really trained, and a couple of these guys, you know, I don't want to get their hopes up and get their heads big, but a lot of these guys, I've been talking to some college coaches around here, and they could have a chance to get walk-on opportunities if they continue playing like they have been.
Switching gears slightly, the Arkansas Unity, the women's football team.
Yes.
Let's touch on that a little bit. Like, what started that? What are they about, et cetera?
Yeah, so women's football, much like all of women's sports, is growing now. And Arkansas used to have a team called the Arkansas Wildcats, and they were very good. They won two or three championships, national championships, I believe. And they kind of went away around the 2015, 2016, maybe 2017. Around that time, they disbanded, went away. A lot of the players quit playing. But then, you know, I've seen the rise in women's sports, and I have four sisters myself who all played sports. So I was like, you know, why not bring that back? You know, why not try and get our own thing going here? Because we don't really have – I don't think we have any women's football in the state of Arkansas that I know of or even close. There's a team in Mississippi. But, yeah, you know, it's women's tackle football, full 11-on-11, just like the men play. A lot of the championship games – at the higher level, I think we're played on ESPN.
Yeah.
You may be up on YouTube. So, you know, we're not quite ready to make that jump to the high level right now. But we're still in the early process, just trying to get feelers out there with players. A lot of the old Wildcats, I've talked to them. Their head coach is interested in coming to be the head coach for us. You know, so we're still very early in the process of that. But it'll be in the spring. 2025. I'd like to begin play, but it just depends on recruiting and finding a stadium and stuff like that. But 2026, you know, long way off, but for sure we'll be up and running by then.
Well, the older we get, the faster the years go by. So, I mean, it'll be here before you know it. I mean, it's April, you know. And what I wanted to get back was, you know, you talked about Tech. You talked about all these schools, UAPB. Look at the rise of what Henderson and you got Southern Arkansas, Arkansas Tech, and then school that just won a national championship in Harding. What has that done, the D2 talent that's in the state, how has that helped your program? Because I noticed a lot of guys, you're talking about Tech and these type of players are on your team. Just how much has that elevated? And with Harding winning national championship, have you ever thought about running a little triple option?
I'll answer that first. Our offensive coordinator is very spread, very throw the ball. So it'd be a hard argument.
It'd be a good April Fool's joke. You know, you go into practice tomorrow, like, hey, we're running a triple option this weekend against the 3-time defending champions, you know? I
mean, it, with the talent in the line we have, it could probably work. So that may be something I go to practice with. So
bookmark that, Adam. Bookmark that.
Right. No, it's definitely the level of talent that's come to our team. You know, and when we won the championship our first year versus the roster this year, I think the roster this year could beat that team, and pretty handedly probably. A lot of the older players will argue with me on that one, but, you know, it's they come in with a different mindset. They've been through, you know, 3 or 4 years of a college program, a college weight program, all this and that. So they come with a different mindset. A high school player doesn't really know a whole lot of the ins and outs of football. They may know a lot. You know, the guys from Bryant were coached very well. You know, I can't say enough about them. But, you know, the guys that come from Tech, that come from Harding, we've had a couple of former Razorbacks come out to practice and you know, kind of feel things out. They just bring a level, you know, a higher IQ level, a higher skill level, and then it makes the guys who haven't been to that level play. These guys, you know, Trayvon Woodard, for instance, is a guy who's done really well this year who played at Pine Bluff High School. Well, he, you know, he's practicing with DJ and Keyshawn, who both played in college, so more, learning a little tricks, better, so stuff like that. The
program. So you talked, you know, you're really focused on the future, future seasons, and that's been, we'll say it, you know, an issue with other teams, other. So where do you see the Punishers being? We'll just go kind of short term, the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, so 2 to 3 years, you know, we want to continue growing. We want to, I kind of want to get our roster to 75-25. Which would be 75 collegiate players, 25 high school or non, you know, guys who haven't played football before. Just so, you know, that leads to, you know, film is everything. You got to have good film when you send to these colleges and when you send to these scouts. And so when we get better athletes that are playing with us, you know, we can't help the talent we play against, but playing with us, I can send it to these college coaches and these scouts and they look at it better. You know, and then, right, 2 to 3 years, hopefully a couple of more champions. That'd be very nice, you know, obviously. So, yeah, and then I'd like to get some of these guys out of here. You know, the end goal, when we first started this team, we told that first team, if all of you got signed, we'd start over again the next year. So that's, you know, that's kind of our goal short term, is to get some of these guys recruited, go get degrees, go to college, or go get paid if you can. You know, that's definitely the goal.
And I know with away games, you know, it's kind of, do y'all have a way to, you know, working on streaming some of these games, getting something going, like maybe a YouTube where you can follow along. But I want you to give a shout out to your home field. You know, I know last year you run into some issues about trying to find a home field and, you know, being able to play your games at Heber Springs. I know that's a journey from Little Rock to play there. So just kind of give a shout out to them and also let everybody know how they can follow you, where you play your games, and get more fans in the stands.
Yeah, it's definitely a big step. Last year they accepted us with open arms, you know, immediately took us in. The community loved us. I think our first game, we broke our attendance record. We had close to 300 fans, which, you know, that puts a lot to, you know, you got a Razorback game, there's 75,000 people there, but at this level, having a crowd of 300 is unheard
of. That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, that we had, you know, they accepted us with open arms, and then they had a superintendent and an athletic director change this season. But they immediately, the same thing, took us in with open arms. We're right back at Heber Springs this year. Trip Keeter, another shout out to him. He's a Heber Springs grad. He kind of helped us with all of that. He built the relationship, built the foundation, and then we came in and showed what we were truly about. And then, yeah, you can follow us, you know, on Facebook, Arkansas Punishers, Instagram, Arkansas_Punishers. And then we have Twitter, too. I believe it's ARPunishersFB. And then our website is ARPunishersFB.org as well. And all of that information's on there. We have an away game this week, but next weekend, April 13th, we'll be right back at Heber Springs, 6 p.m. kickoff, playing another in-state team, the Arkansas Tigers, which should be a good matchup as well. And then we got two more home games after that, May 4th and May 18th, I believe, same time, same place. But, yeah, man, we're super excited. You know, and then, like I said, like you said, this weekend, big matchup, three-time defending champions. So hopefully we can get a win and bring a little pride back to the state, you know, in the spring here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And, yeah, we'll definitely be following along this weekend, updating the score. So whatever we can do to help, you know, we always reach out, you know, whatever we can do to help share scores. Tag us in the score updates. We'll definitely share it. We'll keep everybody updated as the season moves along.
Absolutely. And I personally run all the team social media. So if anybody out there has any questions, just shoot a DM. I'll answer anything. Full transparency. That's how you get people to trust. So anything anybody wants to know about our level, about our team, anything, I'll be happy to answer.
All right. Well, we appreciate you having on, man. And good luck this weekend, man.
Yes, sir. Go Punishers.
That was Chris Goodwin, GM. Oh, yeah, that was good segment. Followed them for a long time. I actually have one of the first, I guess, their first season shirts. It's shrunk, I should say. I will not dare say I've gotten bigger, but the shirt shrunk. So.
That's so, what it was.
Yeah, that cotton, you know, it gets dryer, that know. Washer and dryer shrinks things, you know. But, no, it was awesome having him on, and that just shows the fans, you know. I mean, when you talk about building a program, we've seen it with the women's sports at Arkansas go from hardly anybody in the fans. Now you're getting thousands. So for his, you know, program to be one that started off with hardly any following, now you have a room full of people talking about your team and in the stands. So I would love to see them be able to find a home closer to Little Rock. Love the fact that Heber Springs has reached out and really welcomed them. Mm-hmm. But I know with them being in Little Rock, and it's, you know, you have somebody step up and be able to have more people be able to go to these games. But again, big weekend for them going up against three-time defending champions. And I can't even remember the name of the team that he said, Mississippi
Brawlers.
So we'll be giving you score updates this weekend on that. Be sure to look at the Hog Talk. We're going to take a quick commercial break. After the break, we're going to get into one of the craziest, I would even say exhausting. I mean, it's only a couple weeks in. We're not even doing March Madness, and I'm already exhausted with this whole basketball situation with the head coach. And is he going? Is he staying? Welcoming in transfer portal players, and then, of course, what we went through, you know, seen today on social media. But we'll be right back after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years, with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Spring. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our heirs, history, and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And welcome back to Hog Talk Podcast. And Adam, you know, we talked about having Chris on, talk about the Punishers, and really appreciate him coming on. But man, I didn't expect to have this whirlwind of a weekend. I know it's Easter weekend. You still have March Madness. And, you know, we want to come on and talk about Arkansas's sweep over LSU. And I really hate that, you know, we got the number one team in the country and you got to give them their props. But it just seems like this basketball situation keeps taking over the headlines. And you want to talk about the best team in the country and Hagan Smith sweeping LSU, but then today happens, and you know there was reports out yesterday about Must not approving or not knowing about the video. Then Hunter Yurcheck goes on a podcast, and it's turned into a big mess. And along with the NIL situation, Adam, if this doesn't tell you the disconnect that's going on with this university, why can't we get players? Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? This is a reason why. This is one of the reasons why. If this point with social media and how big both guys are on social media, if you can't get on the same page, whether you're doing it as a funny joke or not, it's something just seems off. There's a disconnect going on. And last week when I was like, man, he's going to stay. He's here. This week, and after today, and and what he said on that podcast, it makes you wonder, makes you do a lean toward the other way.
You know, when the video was posted last week, I honestly didn't think a whole lot of it. I mean, I was glad to see it because I thought it would put to bed a lot of the talk. And then you started hearing the rumblings from behind the scenes that Must didn't know about it, didn't approve of it, or didn't approve that it be put out, et cetera. Personally, with the interview today, which I'm not one to tell, obviously, anybody what to do, I don't see why you even did the interview, to be completely honest. Now, with the interview, I think that, I mean, he said what I feel like any athletic director or coach would say. He's here, he's with Arkansas. I didn't really like the line of, you know, I don't know if he's going to leave or he could leave or whatever it was, but the fact remains, I mean, he's still Arkansas's coach. He's still actively recruiting for Arkansas. And until that officially changes, I feel like it's a lot of stuff that's getting blown way out of proportion. I mean, I know obviously we would like an official, something official, but at the same time, I think you could have left out the contract, you know, there not being an extension on the table and there not being this, there not being that, and just called it like it was. But it unfortunately, it's out there. And it just, I think, it, like you said, it makes it kind of look like a mess that's not great for others.
And, you know, Mason Choate brought up a really good point, though. The podcast is based out of Southern California. You know, it's weird how, you know, I just wonder what this does to local media, the ones that are on the beat, the ones that are on the grind. And, you know, Jackson Collier says that, well, if you've been paying attention, they kind of leaning towards it. And it just puts this cloud over the media. Like, you know, they know this knowledge, but they can't release this knowledge. But yet we're hearing it on a podcast out of Southern California. He's going on record saying it here that this is that. But nobody in Arkansas media or whatever has the opportunity. And I just wonder if that's like what's going on with that. Because you know there's some media out there that find that kind of disrespectful, that, look, why are we getting this from this podcast in Southern California, or what they say on their Twitter bio? You know, why aren't we able to be the ones that gets these interviews and be able to get on there and you come on our show here and talk about it? Just, again, this whole thing's off, and it just seems very, it's, again, off. Just unprofessional, because this is not like either one of them. And it just,
I feel like we're in a, I don't want to say a game, but I feel like we're in this spot that one is trying to force the other one's hand. And essentially, the players, us fans, et cetera, are kind of on the losing end of this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, left out of the dark, I don't understand why you go to a podcast in Southern California. Now, with that, too, because I know there's been the speculation, my opinion, you know, USC's job came open. Their coach, yeah, Andy Enfield, I think, took the SMU job. Who knows if Musselman's even their number one choice?
Yeah.
We don't even know. I mean, again, we're going back to reports of who they're eyeballing, who's this, who's that. Guess what? Musselman's name was on those similar reports for Louisville, for SMU, for, I mean, how many times did we see over the last couple of weeks before all this that, oh, he's going to SMU, he's gone to SMU, and then it didn't happen. So, you know, it's just one of those things that's been created. If he had gone on, I think, a Arkansas show and done this, you probably wouldn't have as many folks that felt a little backhanded with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that's why, you know, with the day in social media, it's obviously going to get picked up. I mean, you go on, you know, X and just search Hunter Yurecek and click latest, you know, it's going to show you all the recent, you know, stuff that's been, or top stuff that's been posted out there. So it was obviously something that we are all bound to see. And you think you're ones closer to the program, probably, yeah, looked at it and, you know, left a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah. And it's, you see it. And again, it's, you know, I don't know. Again, it's just one of the things, like, I wish, because there's always, and this is, again, this is where the media comes in, the fact of they know, people know information, but they got to wait till what time to say anything. And then when it breaks, they're like, well, as we reported, or what we were trying to say, they come out and say like they known all along. And whether mm-hmm. they did or didn't, you're always going to have the ones that didn't say they did. You know, it's almost like we're at the time where, say what you got to say. I think you should be able to say what's going on. You know, I don't understand these, the but all it does is frustrate everybody, because, you know, we're dealing with people who are running a university, you're running a basketball program, and it's almost like we ain't got time for these shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? It's like, look, it's the same situation with the football program. You're not in the state of mind right now in your program to be doing this. You need to piss or get off the pot. Like, is he coming back? Or tell us, hey, we're in contract negotiations, we're in this. I think right now, especially, again, let's bring up this NIL. Let's bring up this edge. Do you really? How are we expecting to get so many people to donate $25, $50 a month when we don't even know who our basketball coach is going to be next year? You don't know what state your football program is going to be in. But you're running these games. And mm-hmm. I don't care who it pisses off or not. To me, it's these games, these videos. And Musselman's not saying nothing, and he is. And then there's people that are saying, well, y'all don't have the right to say, yes, if you're wanting us to donate our money and you're wanting us to invest in this program, this edge, yeah, we have the right to know what are we really investing in. What's the state of the Arkansas Razorback athletic program? Your football program goes 4-8, 3-7, 2-10. Your basketball program doesn't make the NIT. And I'll address this. It's not cowardly if he leaves. We just want to know. We don't want to be led on, or we don't want these games. The man can do – he's not in any kind of contract. There's no contract on the table. He's paid his dues. If he wanted to go to another job, he can go to another job. But it's at the point where it's frustrating, because, look, I want to be talking about the number one team in the country in the baseball program, the one constant that's been good over the last 20 years. But you have these games going on, and it's – weird. I didn't even really get that fired up until I really started talking about it. And I'm just like, you want all this stuff from us. What are you giving us? You're giving us shenanigans and games. It's, I don't know. I don't like it. And I think if they want to keep playing these games, keep playing these games. But what's going to happen, whether he goes, everybody's going to say, see what happened. You put, and then the fans get blamed. I don't think none of this goes on the fans.
The next person to say shenanigans is going to get pistol whipped. Yeah, you've seen Super Troopers, you know. You know, and I look at it too from the, you know, I know that he's been actively recruiting, obviously, the portal. I think there's been, which granted, some of this is talk, some of this is rumors. I mean, there's a solid 2 to 4, I think, more players that I've heard are all but committed to Arkansas, to coming to Arkansas. I wonder if the holdup is some of this talk. Because here's the thing is, yes, Josh Cohen committed to Arkansas, but the school hasn't officially announced it yet. These players are the ones that are announcing where they're going, but it's not official yet. So if something were to happen, I mean, Josh Cohen could back out. Yeah. So is that what some of these players are holding out on because they want to know? And you would think that that's a conversation that's being had with the players, which, you know, we're not privy to all of those. But I would think for the sake of your transfer portal recruiting, I mean, these guys need to know because, you know, coming up, I would say these next 2 to 3 weeks this month of April are going to be key when you're going to start seeing a bunch of the top portal guys committing to what schools that they're going to. But here we are talking about, is he here? Is he not?
Well, we went from who would not want to come to Arkansas to who would, because of stuff like this. I mean, like you look at the year and you look at your guys who's leaving and you got your guy from UMass, but you brought a guy in, but you still don't know who the coach. I mean, that is just so wild that you would bring a guy in, visit, he commits to you, Eric Musselman and the Arkansas Razorbacks, and we're still having these issues. And to me, you wonder why you're getting passed up. You wonder why Nate Oates could have a better basketball program than Arkansas right now. You can wonder why Rick Barnes is at Tennessee and has a better basketball program right now. I mean, other than all the stuff that went on last year with the Alabama basketball program off the court that bled onto the court, because we all know we don't have to go over that subject again. I mean, they rebounded and now they're in the Final Four. I mean, to really lose one of your best players in Quinterly, who went to Memphis, lose Miller to the NBA, and now you're back in the Final Four. Alabama's, I mean, as of right now, they've done just as enough as Arkansas has.
You know, it's definitely something that we hoped and thought was wrapped up, especially with the video that was posted last week. I don't know. I don't know the mindset. I don't know the thought process on either one of their side, Juracek or Musselman. But at the same time, I just feel like we're in a pissing contest that is not going anywhere.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's no time to waste. Like, it's the thing. You need to – we need to have a coach or we need to have a coaching search. You know, it's one of them things, because all it's doing is, guess what? We're the Final Four next weekend in the national championship game. I mean, all these players are going to be entering the portal. They're going to be gone within 2 weeks. Now, where do you want to be as your program in 2 weeks? Do you want to be looking for a head coach in 2 weeks and now all these portal players are going somewhere else where they know is going to be? That's the timing of this is so frustrating. Like, we're, again, playing these games, and guess what? You could be losing 2 or 3 guys that could help turn this program around, because that's what needs to happen. You need to turn this program around. If this was coming off a Sweet 16 program, a program that finished 3rd or 4th in the SEC, got bounced out in the Sweet 16, wouldn't be a big issue. I don't even think we'd have this conversation. But the year you've had, you look what's coming in, and you know you have an overhaul, and we're doing this. And it's just something needs to happen quick, because I'm telling you, all these portal players are going to go elsewhere, and then you're going to be like, well, what do we got?
Yeah. Well, and I think a I guess, positive side of, you know, what's been going on, the unanswered questions, is the four that haven't announced whether they're leaving or not. So, and it, I'm going to say officially, because Caleb Battle hasn't officially said, I mean, we heard and saw the interview on the Rider and Around show. But, you know, we still have Tremont Mark, we still have Trevin Brazil and Bayfall.
Yeah.
And I think that it is a positive thing that they're still haven't announced anything officially, like that they're leaving, et cetera, for the simple fact that, I mean, he's our coach. So they're potentially staying here because he's our coach.
Yeah.
That, you know, they probably got a little bit more insight than all of us do.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see what this night. Maybe by Thursday when we come back on here and we're talking and going, maybe we have some answers. And sorry for the little, you know, the rant and all that, but it's like at some point it just goes back to, again, just what they're wanting out of us and this big charge, you know, drive for 5,000. That has a lot. That's a huge part of it. If you can't even see where you're getting your players to buy in or where they're at, they're in limbo. How do you expect the fans to feel? Mm-hmm. You know, and again, how the season plays. You got football first, and then you basketball. Now you're wanting, you know, a lot of the football success plays into the basketball and then goes to baseball. So you really need your football program to kick off, have a great year. I'm telling you, this football program has an 8-9 win season. You're going to have people donating NIL left and right. Then it follows in like we did in 19 with all the success of the basketball, the football, basketball, and baseball. That's what it's going to take. But, you know, the stuff we've seen today and over the last week is kind of embarrassing. You know, it's kind of – everybody's already kind of like, look at Arkansas. You're the bottom of the football and basketball world. Yeah, you're number one baseball. But, again, look what's had the headlines. But that's all I have to say on that. We're going to switch, unless you got something else to add on to that subject, you know.
Well, I think it's something that, and this is my last bit on it, is the other fan bases know how to get a rise out of Arkansas fans. Our fan base knows how to get a rise out of each other.
Yeah.
So it's going to be crazy. Something that every opportunity given, there's going to be poking and prodding just to get a response out of people. And that's the way it's constantly going to be.
Yeah. Well, we're going to move on to the number one team in the country. We'll wrap up the show talking about the number one baseball team getting the sweep over LSU and being able to, I mean, we've just added another soft fan base. And while we're poking at each other and we're talking about our own fan base, boy, did LSU just come in and get smoked. And I know, you know, they're having a down season, but to get swept, you're too scared to put your number one against our number one. You try to push him in game two. You end up losing that in 10 innings, 4-2, and then you can't even follow up with a sweep. You have one of your biggest content guys coming in trying to make friends with our fan base, and then he gets pissed off and blocks everybody, including us. All I done was wished him well, and I wished him safe travels back to LSU, and I got blocked, you know? Just trying to make the man get down through to Queen better, you know?
I think I caught the tail end of all that stuff with that podcast or that show, whatever he is. 'Cause the first, I mean, I was having to go do some research on Twitter, like go through a couple like days worth of posts just from searching that podcast name.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was looking through it and I guess went into Foghorns after the game with the umps and was getting into altercations.
Really?
Yeah. don't know how much truth there is to that, but that's what I was going off of. That from, I guess, one of the family members of a waitress there. But, that's you know, insane. It's one of those, you know, sour grapes. It's like, you know what you're getting into when you come to an opposing stadium and then you get butt hurt when the opposing fans, I mean, just kind of rub it in your face a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you're immediately going to Twitter afterwards and talking about how we're playing y'all's song or whatever it was. I mean, it was us. It was our school, whoever's over all the music and stuff, trolling y'all. We did it to get a rise out of y'all.
Yeah. Well, and they play that every sport. They play the Neck song. You're talking about Neck. Yeah. And they play that in basketball. And, you know, they do that every – it doesn't matter if they're playing LSU. They play that every game. And I know that LSU wants to claim it, but they can't even claim the song. They're not even the ones that started it. They're not even the best band in their state, so therefore they can't claim a song. Yeah, that's their little theme song, but, you know, they're just trying to claim things that aren't theirs. And it's funny that you boast a lot of things and you're going to, you know – This is the year we're going to repeat. You get the best money that, you know, Tommy Tanks, and you try to follow it with Skeens, and you got Tommy Tanks, and you just come in Arkansas and get embarrassed. And now you have one of your biggest sounding boards, you know, tuck his tail and go back to LSU, you know. And look, give us our grace, guys, you know, because basketball and football hadn't been so well for us. So we're going to boast like crazy when it comes to baseball. You know what I'm saying? We're going to boast about this one.
I know that they're extra sensitive when it comes to Peyton Stovall being from the state of Louisiana, but some of the stuff that I saw.
Oh, granted, God. Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Twitter is a cesspool, like I have said time and time again. But some of the stuff being put out there about Peyton Stovall from Louisiana, from LSU fans, is just absolutely asinine.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that they would have the audacity to actually host that to a public thing, it was beyond me.
Well, that's what happens when you have trolls and people who hide behind keyboards. It's probably not their real name or picture. You know, that's the bad thing about social media. It's fun when you have burner accounts just to poke at people. You know, but when you go after somebody and you're saying these derogatory comments, and who's going to answer for it? Because nobody, you know, and I'm saying it's, you know, because it's not a real person, you know, and there's a lot of people. Social media is not real. You're going on Twitter and saying these things, but that's cowardly. You know, you wouldn't say that to anybody's face, or you wouldn't say that with your picture on that profile, your name to back that up. And yeah, nobody deserves that. Arkansas fans are guilty of it. Every fan base does it. It's just, and it's nasty either way. It's, and again, we've said this many times on the podcast here. Like, it's okay to say you suck on the field or you did this or you did that. But when you go after them personally or start doing derogatory comments personally, that's where the line's crossed.
Mm-hmm. You know, if there was any series that I was worried about this season, especially early on, it was this one. Because, you know, you've got the defending national champion coming in. You know, that's daunting as it is. But you know, there was a couple times, especially games 2 and 3, that I was just kind of like, ugh, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. Or I was just like, you know, I think it was in the 9th inning, the second game, some of us texting were just like, oh, this is them. And it's just, you know, the PTSD from the past, you know, it's just like, oh, all right, we're letting them stay in this game. We're going to end up losing this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes with it. And they held on. I don't know how many times, I think Friday night, like I had the final graphic made up, ready to go. And then I'm like, oh, going to the, you know, and I was just kind of like, I should have just waited till the end of the game till it was final.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to be ahead of it. And then it goes into extra innings. So I had to alter things. And it was just,
Well, Hagan Smith, again, another killer, you know, performance by Hagan Smith, 6 innings. 10 strikeouts. He gave up 2 earned runs. But, I mean, just the what can you say about this guy? You know, what can you say about this whole team? And, again, you know, they could have just laid down and just let them win that game. But they fought back, won, pride, get the sweep over LSU, 23-3 overall, 8-1 in conference, 19-1 at home. So, that, I mean, you talk about another – killer start for Arkansas, and I can't remember what the exact record was, but they said for the last 4 or 5 years in a row, Arkansas has started out, I want to say 23-2 or 22-3 the last 4 years, and I think they broke that streak this year with a can't even remember.
Well, I know they broke the – this was their 17th game in a row at Baum that they've won, which I think broke a – record dating back to sometime in the early mid-2000s. But, you know, this is something that this team is finding ways to win. I know I saw several posts and comments and whatnot that, like, you know, talking about the bats and whatnot, But, you know, I was looking at it like we're playing better pitchers. We're playing better, you know, fielding talent. So this is going to happen. We're not playing teams right now, especially like LSU coming up with Ole Miss, even with them having a downtime, whatever. We're playing teams with better talent. We're not going to necessarily go out and crank out 11, 12, 13 runs. So you've got to find the ways to win in the 4-3 games and the games that are just where your bats aren't lining up. You're only getting 6-7 hits. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's what makes championship teams. You're going to need that pitching. And talking about the softball program just a little bit, you know, that's where we've talked about if that softball program gets that solid rotation where they can lean on their pitching when they need to and they can lean on their hitting when they need to, you're going to be in Oklahoma City, and they've kind of struggled with that. You know, they're in a battle right now to win the series against Georgia, but, you know, back to the baseball team, you got Ole Miss coming up. You got Arkansas State tomorrow, and then you have Ole Miss. I mean, and we talk about Peyton Stovall. You know, he went 8-for-16, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs for the week. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing where you're getting top-notch from Peyton Stovall. You're getting top-notch from Hagen Smith, you know, and just getting timely hits. Look at Diggs. I mean, wasn't he 0-for-4 when he hit that home run?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things.
He was 0-for at that point.
Yeah, he was 0-for. You know, and look, another thing to really put icing on the cake. Arkansas has won 4 of the last 5 series against LSU and swept the last 2 home weekend series against LSU. So, 8-1 again on the season in SEC play, and another, you know, look, Ole Miss is just like LSU. It don't matter what the record is. They're coming in hot, and the more Arkansas wins and the more Hagen Smith does behind on the mound, the bigger that target's going to get.
Yeah, and going back to the bats comment too, you know, I listened to, or during the game they mentioned, I think at this point in time, Arkansas was at like 36 home runs on the season. And they referenced Georgia being at like 74 home runs at the same point of the season, which, you know, it's crazy. You've doubled, you know, what Arkansas's doing. But, you know, looking at it, well, granted, Georgia's 22-6, but they're 4-5 in the conference.
Yeah.
So those bats, those home runs, when you come against great pitching, it's not going to always, you know, be in your favor.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't play Georgia during the season, but, you know, I would say come SEC tournament time, and then, you know, if they seemingly will, you know, make it to postseason, you know, it could be a completely different story for them.
Yeah, and again, we've seen what that does, you know, that we see what when it comes to – look at – I mean, I keep on bringing up Tennessee and the stellar team that they had. You know, you just look at what they did, and then when they get to postseason play, and I'm actually trying to go into Georgia and see that they're if they have their SEC stats. So, like Arkansas, you can look up season and then SEC stats. So, it's not coming up right now. I might have to go to the SEC. But Charlie Condon has 19 home runs on the year for Georgia. So, and then – Corey Collins has 12. So they got a couple of guys that can hit. You know, they're at 82 home runs right now on the year.
Okay. So it went up.
Yeah. I mean, that's impressive, you know. I'm trying to see if I can pull up the SEC baseball stats just to see if, you know, if it's
I have it. They're pulled up. So I'm trying to see who's leading home runs. In SEC play, it looks like Corey Collins is leading them.
No, how many home runs?
He's got 7. Colby Branch has 9.
Okay.
What
about Charlie Condon?
Charlie Condon, where is he at? He is at 5 home runs
so
in SEC play.
There. So only five of his 19 home runs are in SEC play. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, who'd you say, Collins? How many has he hit?
Corey Collins is at 7.
So 7 of his 12. So he's kind of flipped. Mm-hmm. You know, most of his are in SEC play. But, yeah.
So how many total home runs did you say?
82 total.
82 total.
Yeah.
So 23 of those 82 home runs have been in SEC play.
And that's still a lot. You know, we're just a few series in. So it in you just look at.
So what did I say? They were 2-4.
Four and something. In SEC. 4-5 in conference.
Yeah. So in 9 games, they've hit 23 home runs.
And that, again, I mean, that solos, so they're going to be solo home runs, you know, 2-run shots, you know, when you're still losing the game, you lost, you got swept by Kentucky, you beat Alabama 2 out of 3, no, you swept Alabama, and then you lost the series against Tennessee. So you've only won, you've played 3 SEC series, you swept Bama, and then you've lost your other 2 series.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, that just shows you got to have pitching, and that's what we have a very balanced roster this year.
And I'm looking at, like, one of their games, Northern Colorado. I mean, they won 11-1, 19-1, 14-6, 11-1. I mean, so, you know, it's one of those. You had them stacked. Now, granted, you lost to Kentucky 16-10, but, you know, you're getting into SEC play, lost 9-3, lost 12-2. That game was postponed, 1-9-5. So it's significantly changed into SEC play.
Yeah. And you got them Yahoos. Like, I don't know if you've seen the Yahoo from Oregon State that was trying to justify Oregon State being better than Arkansas. One, you lost head to head to Arkansas, neutral site, and you're trying to justify that. And then you go get waxed by USC. I mean, one game was 17-1.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He took it like a champ. He didn't try to crawfish. He took the L, a massive L, because everybody was coming at him. But you know, you've got to respect, and I think that's what Arkansas does very well. And having Dave Van Horn, he respects and knows that this is the SEC. This is college baseball. Even going into a game like tomorrow night, you know what you're getting into. Hell, they've battled with Little Rock. They've battled with Arkansas State. They've battled with Grambling. You know, they've battled with these smaller schools. They know that you go into each game being humble, and you have the success that Arkansas has.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you know, I've said it multiple times, and we get on a high horse with this team year after year, but just, you know, top to bottom, this is the most put together team, most put together roster that I have seen. That Dave Van Horn's had.
Yeah. And it's good because the coaches deserve this. I mean, I know the players, but as much heat as Hobbs and Thompson have taken, and even Dave Van Horn sometimes, you know, about in-game decisions and stuff, it's like they deserve a national championship because how much hard work they put into this team. And they catch a lot of flack with, you know, if a pitcher gets hurt, we'll see, do we need a new pitching coach? Will they go 0 for a weekend? Do we need a new batting coach? You know, and they keep on coming through again, being that constant, right along with the track program, constant program that we know is going to get us to the postseason, super regional. Yeah, they haven't won a national championship yet, but it's that consistency and knowing we can count on them, and it's all led by Dave Van Horn and the program, the type of program he runs, and that expectation that is expected out of whoever comes into that program.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Just a quick update, though. The softball's tied 2-2 in the top of the fifth with Georgia.
This is a rubber match with Georgia, number 3 ranked team in the country. Would be a big, big win for Arkansas to win this series. Let me look at their schedule pull their schedule right up real quick on who they have coming up this weekend. They're, again, at Georgia. Then they play Missouri at home Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so you go from the 3rd ranked team in the country to the 13th ranked team in the country. So another stacked, you know, SEC. And then you have South Carolina after that. And look, they're not ranked, but they're good. They got Lana Vauder from Stanford, I believe. And I really wanted her to come to Arkansas. There was 2 pitchers that Maxwell from OSU and Vauder from, I believe she went to Stanford. I really wanted them to come to Arkansas, and I think that was part of Dyfoe's plan to get a couple of those pitchers like that. And you just imagine 2 All-American pitchers with this lineup along with the returning rotation. That would have been a deadly team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, something to look at, too, is the game tonight. You know, it's on the SEC Network right now. 2 of the 3 games this weekend for softball is on SEC Network. you know, we know that with baseball and softball and how many games there are, the majority of the games are on SEC Plus. So this is definitely the time that, you know, if you don't like SEC Plus, you don't use SEC Plus, make sure you're watching them when they're on, you know, national television.
Yeah.
I think only one of the Ole Miss games is on national TV this
week. And we can't forget about the gymnastics, you know, hosting the regional, you know, I mean, that's big, big. Another thing that's going on this weekend. So if you're not able to get a baseball ticket, please go out and support the gymnastics team. Get a ticket, go inside Bud Walton Arena and watch the regional. But before we go, have to give a shout out to Forefathers, Polo Company, amazing shirts. Had to get the Turf Dad. A lot of cool features, a lot of cool designs. If you really go into their website, they have like a Game Dad, and it's got a bunch of controllers in the design, or donuts and stuff. And it's just a bunch of cool designs, and really proud to kind of be partnered up with them. Thanks for the hookup for the shirt. And if you put in the Hog Talk code at checkout, you get 20% off your order. So go to the website, look them up on Facebook, Forefathers, F-O-R-E, Fathers. Look through all of their stuff, their shirts. They have kids' shirts. So I know Easter's past, but we're coming into the springtime and summer. So definitely give them a look out. Don't forget to use the promo code Hog Talk. And while we're talking about the Hog Talk promo code, when you get off here, download the Autograph app. If you've not already downloaded it, put in the code Hog Talk. Get it all the latest. Our podcast will be right after this, already uploaded onto the app, along with some great articles, Fan Zone. Follow along with some of your favorite content from around the state. But yeah, it's a great app. And again, got to thank Forefathers for the shirt.
Yeah, if you want, I mean, I'm currently in the fan portion, number one.
So you've overtaken that spot. Okay.
Hop on there and dethrone me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, tonight, Monday night, everybody knows across Arkansas, watch the weather, folks.
Yes, yes. Everybody be safe tonight. Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Well, that will do it for this episode of Hog Talk Podcast. For Adam Hall, I'm Porter Hayes, again, presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company, Sterling Soap, Bet Online, and the Buzz Radio Network. We will catch you on Thursday.